My name's David. I'm both the Anglican Lingo people. I'm a curate, and even not quite a vicar yet. I'm at All Saints Church in Wellington. I've been there coming up to over 3 years, something like that, 2.5 years. And I've just got some thoughts to share tonight. And in fact, you guys are lucky. This is the first time I have preached live, I think, for 6 months, because we've been doing all our services on Facebook Live. And the majority of them, if I was preaching, someone else was leading. So I recorded a video and send it to them. So, so this is a first time for me for 6 months. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, he's not very good, it's because I'm out of practice. And if you come to church tomorrow, hopefully I'll be a bit more polished. It'll be a different sermon now, I promise. But I wonder how you found lockdown. And I know people have been talking about that a lot, haven't they? But I want to spend a few minutes tonight, probably more than a few, but not too long, thinking about our walk with Jesus during lockdown. I can't hear you, I can see some of you. I wonder if you could just give me a face that shows me how lockdown has been for you in terms of your walk with Jesus. Lots of thumbs up, that's good, happy days, look at that. Some thumbs up, some glum faces, some people kind of sitting there thinking, what is that strange man getting me to do? And it's like that, isn't it? Because for some of us, we've maybe embraced this opportunity that the church at last has to be outside the building. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the church has left the building. Hooray! And that's good news for many of us. Those of us that maybe find church difficult to be accessible, those of us that are stuck at home due to family or illness or whatever, at last we've felt ourselves more included. We've been able to. For me, it's reminded us that there's more to the church than just the building or even just the area that I'm used to. But I also have to say, if I'm honest, that some parts of my walk with Jesus have been really difficult over the last half year. I'm glad lots of you put your thumbs up, but I'm going to be honest and confess to you, brothers and sisters, tonight, forgive me, but I have sinned. I've just sometimes felt a bit bleh about it all, and that's a theological term. And in the words of Simon Ponsonby, instead of feeling like the lion and the lamb, I felt a bit like the mix between a cow and an elephant, if that makes sense. I have just felt like I've been plodding on. Sometimes God has done God's always doing amazing things, right? But let's get that into the mix. But sometimes I just feel like I've got up, jumped onto Zoom, done a few meetings, done an email, prayed if I behaved myself, and got into bed. The 9 to 5 of just plodding along has really kind of got me a bit. I felt a bit like a plodder. And then one morning, for those of you that go to All Saints, and there's a few of you here tonight, we try to share testimony, try to share stories of what God has done. And one morning, I said to my wonderful wife, some of you might know, Kimberly, I said to her, right, can you share your testimony with us? And she was like, well, I can. It's not, you know, she wasn't like a drug dealer or, you know, anything like that and came to faith. But I said to her, I really think it'd be good if you shared your testimony. And this really spoke to me in terms of my plodding. And I'm going to sum it up for you in a nutshell. So she's from a family who aren't Christians. A couple of her family members are quite, find it very difficult. And she was showing her story. Basically, she moved into a village near Stratford-on-Avon when she was in high school. And a friend in her street, which I think year 8, year 9, maybe a bit younger than that, she made friends with a girl in her street. And that friend invited her to church. She thought, well, I've got nothing else to do on a Sunday morning, I might as well go. And to cut a long story short, 4 or 5 years later, she was baptised in the Vineyard Church in Northampton. And now she's wonderful. She's someone that listens to the Lord more than I do, someone that speaks God's truth and God's love into situations a lot more than I do. And there's a lot more to it than that, but it all began with her friend asking her one question, one sentence: do you want to come to church with me one day? One simple phrase. You know, if she hadn't asked that question, and I know, of course, God is sovereign and God's on the throne and we can't upset God's plans, blah, blah, blah. I get that. That's true. But there's a real thing, we hold that kind of intent, we're going to be called conscious. And so my friend, my wife's friend, Katie, was obedient to God, say, ask your friend to church. And if she hadn't been obedient to that prompting, who knows if my wife Kimberly would ever have come to faith. And that's got a bigger impact, if you like, because me and her met at a wedding of two friends that she knew from church. So if she hadn't been a Christian, we might never have met each other. So this tiny little thing that her friend Katie did, that tiny little question that her friend asked, had this big impact. There's lots of other examples as well. Once when I was getting married, one of someone that I don't know very well, but she came up and she prayed for me and my wife when we were getting married, and she gave us a book. And she said to me, I think this book will be important for you. I took it and I read it and I didn't really get why it would be important. But kind of 4 or 5 years later, as I was being dragged, kicking and screaming into kind of church ordained ministry, we're all in ministry, remember, and I was being dragged into ordained ministry, that book really spoke to me. And it was just a small bit of obedience on part of the lady that gave it to me, but it really had an impact on my life. So we're going to look at a couple of examples, or one example from scripture tonight, to encourage us about how we should listen and then obey what God says, because that's what it's all about. Lockdown, when life is so different to what it used to be, God is still calling us to listen and obey. And I might feel like I'm plodding along, but God is still calling me to do stuff for his kingdom. So the crux of the thoughts I'm about to share could be summed up in one sentence. So you might as well go home after I've said this sentence if you're getting bored. But please don't. It's that the little thing that God calls us to do, that little thing that God's calling us to do, God will expand for his great glory. It might just be one little thing that God's asking us to do, one little question God's asking us to ask our friend, and God can use it for his kingdom purposes. That's what God's been challenging me to do. God can use the little thing for his great glory, one obedient plod at a time, one baby step at a time. God calls us to listen and obey in the little things. So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 9. So if you've got a paid Bible or a little electronic one, jump into Acts chapter 9, one of my favourite stories in the Bible. While you're finding it, we're talking about listening and obeying. Well, let me share with you a story of a time when I really didn't listen and obey, and I'm really annoyed about myself. Just to show that, you know, we all get things wrong, right? Because to me, there's no point in listening if we're not going to obey. We might as well not bother listening to God if we're not going to do what he's asking us to do, kind of. So those two things come together. And once, some of you might have heard this story, I was at a supermarket in Cleveland. I was lining up to buy my bread and my milk. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, I want you to pray for the lady on the checkout. And I can remember kind of having this argument with God as I was putting stuff on the conveyor belt. I'm like, no, you don't. No, I'm sure you don't. You can't. No, you don't. And I can remember having this internal monologue with him. And I said to him, you know what? Okay, I will. But you've got to be, I'll only pray if it's something medical. So I'll only pray. You've got to confirm to me the next two people that it's something medical. And as soon as I said that, a colleague came up and said to her, oh, I hope your appointment goes well at the hospital tomorrow. So I'm thinking, okay, there's no way I can get out of this. But brothers and sisters, I'm ashamed to say that I got there and I wimped out. I didn't obey. I got back in the car and told Kimberly, and she told me off quite a lot. But there's a real sense, isn't there, that if we're going to listen to God, if God's going to speak to us, we've got to do what he's asking us to do. And that was years ago, but still part of me thinks, oh, what if that little thing had such an impact for the kingdom? Anyway, sorry, I'm going to go off on tangents. That's really bad on Zoom because you lock it. Yeah, it's quite easy to get distracted on Zoom if you're trying to listen. So sorry, Acts 9. So this is in the middle of Acts. The early church is being built. Saul's going around doing all sorts of naughty stuff and picking on the Christians. And let's begin with verse. Let's start at verse 10. So before this, Saul is on the way to Damascus. He sees a bright light. Lots of us might know this story. And he's in Damascus, and Saul's waiting around. Can't see anything. That's where Saul is. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, he answered, I've seen many reports of this man, all the harm he's done. He's come in with authority from the chief priest to arrest you and call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he is to suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. So this passage is the product of one of the most really famous conversions in the whole church history. That of Saul, as he turns from a murderous hunter of followers of the way, Jesus people, to an enthusiastic preacher of that very Jesus. A conversion that Luke talks about three times. It's a big deal. And Saul's journey to Damascus, he's had an overwhelming interruption. And he has heard the Lord call to him two times. Back in verse 4, I think it is, Saul, Saul. And at other points in the Old Testament, we hear this kind of double calling. We hear it when God calls Abraham, Abraham, and Jacob, Jacob, Moses, Moses. This repetition reminds us of turning points in the narrative of God's people. This event is extraordinary. It's amazing. God's voice calling, God's voice making a difference. And it begins with one call, a call to Saul, in this instance, to listen and to obey. You could argue that Saul doesn't really have much choice considering God's stripes and blind. He doesn't really give Saul an option. Saul has to listen and respond in some way. He ends up in Damascus, he's unable to drink or eat, and he's just waiting for God to do what he wants to do. And this is where we get the exciting stuff. Ananias, who I think is the unsung hero of the New Testament, after Jesus, of course. We only get a few verses for him. But look at what he says. He's called to go to Saul, who has got a reputation for going around killing Christians. And yet Ananias does say, are you sure? And then Saul says, then God says, yes, go. And Ananias goes. We don't know much about Ananias. Not many facts are available to tell us about him. But it's clear that praying is normal for him. That's good, right? So it's normal for him to speak, to speak to God. And it doesn't seem unusual for God to speak back. I don't know about you, but if I had a vision or a God speaking so clearly to me, I'd find that quite exciting. But Ananias doesn't really mention that. Ananias doesn't say, oh Lord, are you talking to me? Now, Ananias' problem is with what God is saying to him. So it seems that Ananias is really used to God speaking to him, God talking to him. This supernatural experience seems normal. I wonder for you and for me, it's a challenge for me. How normal is that kind of supernatural encounter? That makes it sound more hocus-pocusy than it is. How normal is it for us to hear God's voice? And I guess even more importantly, how normal is it for us to be listening and for us to be obeying? And Ananias responds with, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. His eager readiness to follow God's instructions. And God's instructions are specific. They tell Ananias where to go, who he's going to see. He's going to go to Straight Street. He's going to meet Saul. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. How often do we listen? How often do we set aside time to be in God's presence? And lots of you are saying, yeah, yeah, lockdown was good for my walk with Jesus. And maybe part of that is because some of us, not all of us, I know, but some of us might have opportunities to slow down a bit more. Some of us really haven't. Those of us that might be working in jobs like, I don't know, teaching or in medical stuff or all sorts of other jobs, we might have found the gears gone up a bit. But for some of us, we've had the opportunity to take a step back, maybe, and spend more time, hopefully, listening. If not, when do we set aside time to be in God's presence? Just to sit and to listen to what Holy Spirit wants to say to us. Spurgeon said this. He says that he never prayed for more than 5 minutes at a time, but he never went for more than 5 minutes without praying. Constantly listening to see what God might ask him to do. Constantly listening to see that little thing that God might be asking him to do that can be used by God to grow his kingdom in a big way. Prayer is important. If we long to see God's kingdom come, his reign extended, his glory fall, if we long to hear God's voice prompting us to speak to people, to talk to others, to pray for others, to bring words of knowledge or prophetic insight or words of healing or an insight into the spiritual realm which sees us deliver demonic powers with force or whatever it is, we need to spend time listening to the Father. Jesus did it. If I only see what I do, I only do what I see my Father doing. So first of all, we need to listen. And secondly, to come into land. Secondly, we need to obey. We get back into our story in Acts 9. Can you imagine what would have happened if Ananias went, "Yeah, no thanks, Lord. You're all right. I'm not going to do that." What would have happened? We don't know. We can say, well, God had it all in hand and God knew that Ananias was going to respond and all that stuff. Yes, but hypothetically, what would happen if Ananias said, "No thanks, I'm not going to be obedient to you actually, Lord"? But Ananias is with a little bit of obedience. He'd say, "Yeah, I'll do what you're asking me to do. I'll follow that one instruction." Led to such a big impact for the kingdom. The conversion of Saul, the filling of Saul of the Holy Spirit. Brother Saul. He's called by Ananias, "Brother Saul," this expanse of the kingdom. But imagine if you had been obedient. Is it just me that can think of times when I was ridiculously disobedient to what God wanted me to do? And thank goodness there's forgiveness and there's no condemnation. But sometimes the Holy Spirit just convicts us a bit, doesn't he? He says, "Oh, I just wish you'd have done what I asked you to do." And so what I've tried to do, my motto now, what I try and do when I'm in church or talking to people, is I think, you know what, if I think I've got something from God, let's just share it. Because if I'm wrong, this is what Mike Pinabachi says, and I like it, if I'm wrong, no one dies. If I stand up and say, "I think God might be saying this, I'm going to share it," and that's not what God is saying, you know, it's not a "thus says the Lord" thing, I'm not, you know, the prophet Isaiah or anything like that. Let's get it right, we share openly and we share really humbly. But sometimes we're just called to be obedient. And that means we might make mistakes. That's okay. We love each other. We're in family. But we do that kind of thing. I wonder if there's a sense that we might need to be more obedient. And in Jesus, let's end with Jesus. Always a good guy to end with, right? In Jesus, we have someone totally obedient to the Father. I've already mentioned that he says, I can only do what I see my Father doing. Listening to the Father and obeying the Father in the big things and the little things like we're being asked to do. And in Jesus, we see in Philippians 2, Jesus says, it says this, it says that in being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death. He is the ultimate example of obedience. And through Jesus' obedience, Philippians goes on to tell us what the result is, that God gave him the name above every name. And exalted him to the highest place, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. On the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, amen? Yes, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is the ultimate in obedience, in listening to the Father and in obeying. And we're called to be like Jesus. So I want to end by challenging us how much we listen and obey. Remember I said at the beginning, we might feel like we're plodding, I certainly do. But my story, my testimony is that those times when people were obedient in the little things, it led to a bigger thing happening in the kingdom. But we can only do that when we hear God speaking. And the whole of Scripture is full of moments when God has spoken. And some of these were just little lines to people. Genesis 6:13, God speaks to Noah. Genesis 12, God speaks to Abraham. Exodus 3:4, God speaks to Moses at a burning bush. Can you imagine if Moses had gone, "Ooh, a burning bush, I'm going to run away, rather than stopping and listening and being obedient. Joshua 6, when God tells them how to take the city. 1 Samuel 3, where God calls Samuel by name and Eli says to Samuel, you need to listen to God, that's God. Isaiah 6, verse 8, I think, might not be, check it, where God says, whom shall I send? There's lots of others. Luke 1:38, where we think about Mary. Acts 9, we've just seen Ananias. Times in God's story. Remember, God is perpetually articulate. He's always speaking. We need to always be listening and obeying because these are the key moments in God's story. The story of God and his people. So I'd like us to spend a bit of time kind of praying into that. That if tonight you're feeling that you're a bit of a plodder, now, I don't feel like the lion and the lamb, like I said. I'm the elephant and the cow at the moment, just slowly plodding along. But actually, what I'm trying to do is think every day, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? What person do you want me to give a word to today? Who do you want me to be looking out for today? So even when I'm going out to the supermarket or going to a coffee shop, or even when I'm just sitting at home by myself, Lord, who do you want me to drop a text to? Who do you want me to drop an email to? Because to me, that's not a very big thing. But actually, in the sense of the kingdom being built, who knows what the impact is going to be. So whether or not you feel like you're plodding through a pandemic or some of you look like you're leaping through lockdown with the joy of the Lord, and that's great. God can and God does use the little things that we do for his great glory. So I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to go to a time of quiet, and somehow or other, we don't really know how yet, we're going to have a go kind of praying for each other. If that makes you feel really uncomfortable, please stay with us. Feel free to turn your camera off. You know what, that's cool, but please stay with us. Normally, if we were physically together, we'd probably have a time of worship and then pray as and when, so we can't do that. But I'm going to say a prayer, leave a time of silence, and then wait for someone else to say something that's hopefully Mal or Suzanne. Or maybe the Lord, who knows? So, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word to us, that you are perpetually articulate. We thank you for the examples we have in your word of people being obedient in the little things and the big things. So even now, Lord, in the quiet, would you bring to mind the things which you want us to be obedient about? Little, they might seem little. But who knows the impact they can have in your kingdom? So come, Holy Spirit.